In Florida, you'll find the environment to inspire what's inconceivable, the chance to explore what's inexplicable, and the space to accomplish what's unimaginable. You'll no longer have to wait for the future. You can harness it. Florida, the future is here.
The UK voted to leave. Should U.S. investors? More in a moment.
This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to this edition of Your Money Matters. I'm Charlie Turner in New York. Global markets were pulverized Friday as investors were shocked by news that Britain voted in favor of leaving the European Union. Investors are worried the decision could destabilize the region's economy, slow global growth, and threaten financial stability. Let's get the view from Samir Samana, global quantitative strategist at Wells Fargo Investment Institute. Samir, we should note that the practical outcome won't be known for some time. It'll take Britain roughly 2 years for it to work out a divorce with the EU. That allows for a lot of uncertainty and market volatility in the meantime, right?
Exactly. It's really been a theme for us for much of the last year. We think volatility, you know, is really here to stay. We're late in the cycle. You've got the Fed, you know, raising interest rates, or at least talking about raising interest rates. And so volatility will start to kind of move towards more normal levels. You know, when we talk about volatility, we usually think of the Chicago Board Options Exchange has the volatility index, or VIX as it's known. And, you know, that index has kind of been stuck in the low teens, and now it's starting to perk up and kind of starting to trade more in those mid-20s, and that's honestly where it's been historically, and we could easily see that, you know, being kind of the new range for where volatility lives.
The so-called fear index. What does the move potentially mean for global economies?
We think it'll probably be a headwind. You know, we'll probably need to at least reconsider what the impact will be on global trade, on corporate profits, et cetera. But we do think that, you know, even despite, you know, the UK's decision to leave the EU, we do think the global economy will bounce back in the coming quarters. We think that there's some, you know, good you know, support from the central banks, and we think that the consumers continue to be pretty resilient globally. So, you know, once that headwind, the initial shock wears off, you know, as you mentioned, it will take a long time for them to actually exit the EU. So, you know, hopefully calmer and cooler heads will prevail, and some of that optimism leads to some better economic growth in the second half.
I've heard a lot of people express worries about what Brexit might do to trade.
That's one of the biggest concerns. So, obviously, a lot of what drove the referendum were, you know, issues around immigration, around trade, around income inequality. Obviously, we're dealing with something very similar in the U.S. It's something that, you know, a lot of people, you know, thought that, you know, that they would vote to remain because some of the other, you know, implications would be more than enough to offset that. But it just goes to show you that we may have hit a tipping point in terms of, you know, all the different constituencies and how much they care about these different issues.
What does the British exit from the European Union mean for stocks, bonds, the dollar, and commodities?
To the extent that the global economy does bounce back in the second half, which we think it will, as it starts to maybe look past the immediate vote and, you know, realizes that this really is a longer term issue that may or may not have you know, varying degrees of implications to a negative extent, we think U.S. equities will do very well. And we think U.S. rates should end up backing up. I mean, you know, to have the 10-year down where it is right now, you know, really is almost starting to bake in a recession, which we don't see in our base case.
It's been called a non-event, Brexit. It could end up meaning very little.
I definitely wouldn't go so far as to call it a non-event. I think one of the things that, you know, will be probably a lasting implication of the vote is, you know, risk is probably going to need to be repriced to a certain extent. So when rates are really low, when inflation is really low, and when, you know, central banks are very stimulative, and volatility, you know, is very low, people take a lot more risk than they otherwise would. And with volatility starting to perk up, with the Fed having already raised rates once, we think people need to go back and reevaluate their portfolios and make sure that they're ready for the coming quarters and years, which will be probably a little bit more volatile than the ones that we've been through in the past.
Well, should this uncertainty lead to a lot of market volatility, what should investors do?
Well, the immediate thing to do now, unfortunately, some of the very opportunistic time to pull risk off has passed now. At this point, what we're encouraging investors to do is, you know, if you came in, you know, to you know, call it your office or your financial advisor's office today, what you're probably noticing is that your fixed income portfolio is up and that your equity portfolio is down. So one of the first things you can do is make sure that you rebalance. This is probably not the time to move away from equities and into fixed income, especially with yields at these levels. Now, when the markets do rebound, as we expect, what the next step should be is to rebalance, you know, when you get back up to, you know, call it 2250, which is 2240, which is our year-end target. Now, once you get there, you know, that would be a good time because yields probably back up in that scenario, maybe back closer to 2, which is where we see the lower end of the 10-year trading range for year-end. So that's what we tell people is at this point, there's no reason to overreact. There's no reason to sell equities, but rather rebalance back into them. And then when the markets present you with the next opportunity, don't get complacent and rebalance at that time as well.
Do you think the U.S. will benefit from the expected sell-offs in other financial markets? In other words, the U.S. become the safe haven?
That's what you're seeing today. I mean, if you look at what the dollar's doing, if you look at what the U.S. Treasury market's doing, the biggest implication probably for the coming years is that the U.S. will be viewed as the go-to destination for investors. And when you throw on top of that the fact that our yields are much higher than Japanese yields, German yields, English yields, you know, it really does start to become a little bit of a no-brainer around the edges.
The Fed is pretty much off the table for the time being, correct?
Absolutely. We've expected one rate increase all along, you know, sometime in the very back half of the year, and even that, you know, the odds of that have come down a little bit. So if they do it, it would be very late in the year. They would need a lot of economic data to prove to markets that they're doing the right thing. Otherwise, yeah, they're probably relegated to something in 2017.
Sameer Samana, Global Quantitative Strategist at Wells Fargo Investment Institute, thank you very much for being on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
And that's this edition of Your Money Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm Charlie Turner from the News Desk in New York.
For more podcasts, check us out at wsj.com/podcasts. Become a subscriber on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and now look for us on the Google Play Music app on Android devices.